And we're hoping that the morning will sort of carry on fairly relaxed and then flow into a bit of a picnic later too, so we can hang out for a bit longer. Pretty soon I'm going to get the kids to come on up here, but just wanted to, give you a little intro as to what we're going to be thinking about for the next three Sundays here at CBC as we start a year. And it really comes from this idea about, are you ready for 2019? And I don't know if you are ready for it or not. And one of the things that we do in order to get ready for things is we actually get rested to be ready. I think that we have a bit of a philosophy or a lifestyle as Kiwis, probably where what we do is we be ready all year and we work our butts off all year in order to, at the end of it, be exhausted and then have to have a rest. But I don't know if that's actually quite how we're designed, and I wonder whether, in fact, it's about being rested to be ready. And for some of you, you haven't had a rest yet. You've just been working hard right through the summer break, and you don't relate to everyone else who's been able to chill out. But for most of us, we've been able to have a break over the summer, and we've been able to be rested. But what we want to explore over the next few weeks is that rest is not about once a year, get rested and ready for the rest of the year. But in fact, rest and readiness is a bit of a rhythm that goes on. And in fact, the way God's designed us is that we would be actually people who do stuff. That we wouldn't just be people who sit away on some hilltop, meditating, quietly contemplating all our days. But in fact, that the moments of rest and reflection and quietness are actually about preparing us and our souls to be ready to live this life as God's intended. And so I want to talk some about that. I know last year was really great where Dave was introducing us and especially and myself in the beginning of the year when we did the Seek series and we thought about seeking God and we looked at things like fasting and being still and quiet and meditating on His Word. And then Dave introduced us some other concepts around waiting. And for some people, you didn't relate to that because you're just going like, what, so all life's meant to be in some meditative state or do I need to enter a monastery or, you know? Like the quiet contemplative is not you because you're a doer. You just want to be active. You want to be making a difference. And it's really hard to slow down and be still. And so therefore we tend to not relate to that. What I want to suggest over these next few weeks is that in fact we need to embrace the ideas of being rested and quiet and waiting because that restedness prepares us to be ready for the things we need to do. And so we're going to discuss a little bit about what that might look like as a rhythm. But today we're in Psalm 23, which I really like. I mean, at the beginning of the psalm, it says that it's a psalm of David. And what I like about David, it's going to talk about being a shepherd and sheep and stuff, but is that King David, not only was he a king, but he was a shepherd. And as you read of his life, when he was a young boy, he tended sheep, so he was a shepherd of sheep. And then as he grew older and he got anointed as king and he became king, it is said of David that he shepherded his people. So David, this writer of the psalm, is not just writing a psalm about farming. He's writing a song for the people of Israel that's about life, that's about humanity and their relationship with God. And so even though the picture is that of the farmer, that of the shepherd, which David understood very well, he was an experienced and good shepherd, but he was also a shepherd of people as the king. And I guess one of the reasons that I love Psalm 23 and this idea of King David and the Lord is my shepherd is because that's what my dad was like. My dad was like King David. He was never the king, but he was a shepherd. So from when my dad was a little boy growing up, he was a shepherd of sheep. That's the lifestyle he grew up with. And for the first about 40 years of his life, he was a shepherd. And my understanding is he was a very good shepherd. He was known for his craft and his skill of working with sheep. He couldn't work with anything else. He couldn't paint a house or fix a motor. He was hopeless in that sense with his hands. But he was very good at caring for sheep and raising sheep. And as kids growing up, we grew up on this big farm with hundreds of sheep. And every year it would be animal time, you know, calf club time, where you get to have an animal. And so you'd expect that we would have had lambs as kids, right? Because our farm was full of lambs. And we never had lambs. We always had calves from the neighbour. And I used to go, I want a lamb. And Dad would go, no, we've got plenty of lambs out in the paddocks. So let's get you a calf. So I'd have a calf. And I'd raise this little cow and look after that. In my last year at primary school, I said, I really want a lamb. And that year, Dad let me have a lamb. And then I found out afterwards why we didn't have lambs, because my lamb was the one problem lamb back in the flock of sheep and lambs, because it was the friendly one that didn't do what sheep were meant to do because I'd hand-raised it. But you know what? I love that about my dad. But as time went on and my dad actually had to leave farming because of a motor vehicle accident, and he got more involved in town and we became town dwellers, Dad became a shepherd of people, just like David. And I saw my dad right to the end of his days shepherding young men around the Matamata district there, even as an old man in his early 70s, just shepherding young men and pointing them towards God. And so this psalm's important to me. But I do like sheep and I like lambs. And we've since then had lots of pet lambs with my boys and a lot of fun with that. But I've got a pet lamb. And would you like to meet him?
Yes.
Yeah, so kids, come on up here. Get on up here. Because I've got somebody for you to meet here. My lamb is not in green pastures. He lives in a suitcase. So he's quite unusual. So come on up, grab a seat. Cool. Who here's ever had a pet lamb? Anybody? Who out there? Plenty of you. Any of you kids had pet lambs? Man, woe on your mums and dads. Bunch of townies. Are you legally allowed to have a lamb in town? I'm sure you can. I haven't read any rules about it. Come on. When you get home, don't pester them too much, but just say it'd be really cool to have a lamb next year. Yeah. But if not, you might be able to get one more similar to mine. Now, do you want to meet my lamb?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Here he is. How's that? Oh, hi. You like my lamb?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, eh?
I have so many of them.
Yeah. Would you like to look after my lamb for me? Just for now. You can't take that one home. Okay. I've actually got a bigger lamb in here. Just a sec. Are you right?
Oh, I'm okay.
You sure?
Yeah. It's a bit dark in here.
It's okay. Coming out now?
I am.
Oh, here's my lamb. Oh, they like me. Yeah, they do like you. Hey, this lamb, his name is Sean.
Oh, hi, I'm Sean.
For obvious reasons. Hey, you are sporting a very fine wool cut today. Have you just had your wool cut?
I have.
That is great.
I had it at the barber shop.
Oh, very nice. Hey, well, anyway, Sean, I thought we'd meet these kids because today we're learning about sheep and shepherds from Psalm 23.
Oh, that's nice.
It is nice. And I thought we'd talk a little bit about that because you're a sheep.
I am a sheep.
But I guess in some ways your life's different from a real sheep.
Are you saying I'm not real?
Well, I'm meaning like a really live, living sheep.
Am I not alive?
Well, kind of you're like a pretend sheep.
I am?
Hey, you're a really nice sheep.
Oh, good.
Hey, anyway, you live in a suitcase.
I do.
Is it pretty dark in there?
It's very dark.
Are you afraid of the dark?
Sometimes a little bit.
Is anyone here afraid of the dark?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, at my house, I don't like the dark, so we don't have curtains. We just let the light shine in all day and all night long. Because God is with you. That is right. You don't have to be afraid.
Oh, that's like me.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm in the suitcase and it's dark in there.
Yeah? Do you get worried about that?
No.
Why is that?
Because I belong to you.
What do you mean?
You belong to me. Well, you're the one that gave me the suitcase.
Yeah?
And you put me in it.
I do put you in the suitcase.
So I'm okay with that.
Really?
Yeah. Because I know you won't let anything bad happen to me.
Okay. So that's pretty cool. And when I get you out of the suitcase, you never know where you're going to be, do you?
No, I don't know if I'm going to be in a school, at the house, or here at Agora, or in front of all these people.
Yeah, does that make you scared, like not knowing where you're going to be?
Not at all.
Why is that?
Because I know when you get me out of the suitcase, you'll be right here beside me.
Yeah, so me being beside you makes it okay.
It does.
Hey, well, we're going to learn a bit about that today because that's what it was like with the good shepherd, and that David was saying that God's like a shepherd And he doesn't have to be afraid, even in the dark places and the hard places, because he knows that his shepherd, God, will always be with him. So it's just like you said. That was really good. That was really good. Hey, anyway, I've got to put Sean away back in his dark suitcase. Oh, really? So soon? Yep. Are you okay with that? I have to be because I belong to you. Okay. But do any of you guys want to give him a rub? Want to give him a rub? Come on. You can give him a rub. Oh, that feels nice. Oh, boy. Anybody haven't had a rub yet? Here you go. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, that gets right in there. Oh. Okay, we'll see you later. Bye-bye. Okay, you hop back in here, okay? You're right? In you get. You guys go and grab a seat, and you'll see that in those sheets there, you've got some pictures and some finder words that are just from our Psalm 23. Now, for the big kids here, you'll also see that you've got one of these. So either on your own, if there's enough, there's only a few per table, or maybe as couples, grab one of these and grab a pen, because you've got an activity sheet today as well, okay? It's not as exciting as the finder word, and there is a really large finder word. There's two versions, so if there's any spares later, you might want to grab one of those on the way home, because they're pretty cool. But we're going to work on our activity sheet on The Lord is My Shepherd. And as we do, I guess what I want us to think about today is to take David's picture. In this picture, David's trying to describe how he sees his life, the rhythm of his life, and his relationship with his God. And I guess as we look at this psalm, there's a lot in this picture that we don't resonate with. It's like it doesn't necessarily mean a lot to lie down in green pastures. But for David, that had great meaning. And so what we want to think about as we go through this on your sheet with your pen is at different times we're going to pause and consider what would the picture be or the words be that you would use to describe your life and your relationship with God. That would be like a mirror of what David is trying to say. But as we begin, at the very beginning of the psalm, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And it's interesting, this idea of the shepherd. Obviously, David was a shepherd, so he could relate to that picture of a shepherd and sheep. And we're not going to go a lot into that today. But he could relate to that because that's what he was. But what I find interesting is as he's talking about the Lord is my shepherd, for the people of Israel, I think this would have been a precious song because they understood the idea of a shepherd, because that was the kind of culture they grew up in. The Hebrew people were people of the land and people who looked after sheep, and that wasn't always a positive thing. The Egyptians wanted them to live in a different area because they were sheep farmers, shepherds, and they were a smelly bunch, you know, and it wasn't always an honoured kind of a form of farming, the sheep farming. Even today, there are people who can't stand the smell of lamb or mutton, you know, because they've just never grown up with it. So there are some cultures to which the whole idea of shepherding is just abhorrent. But for Israel, it was their way of life. It was how they did life. And so for them, they could relate to David's psalm straight away. The other thing was this, that their forebears had been shepherds, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And even Jacob, at the end of his life in Genesis, it tells us that he's talking to his sons before he dies. And he says this to them of God. He says, "God, who has been my shepherd all the days of my life." So Jacob, who was like a grandparent of all these people of Israel who David writes the song for, they understood because they knew Jacob understood this. Way before David wrote it, he understood this idea that God was the shepherd of him all the days of his life, the one who cared for him, the one who watched over him, the one who was constantly with him. It's interesting, as you flow on through, then you come to Jesus. And Jesus wasn't a farmer. He was a carpenter. Jesus grew up in a time when, in fact, the shepherds, even though their whole nation had been built around shepherding had been so pushed to the side that they were considered the peasants and uneducated. And they weren't even honoured at all in the time of Jesus. In fact, it's amazing that at the Christmas story, that the news came to shepherds first. Because that's not the normal order of things at that time, the time when Jesus was born. They would have been the last to hear. But God honours them. And then Jesus honours that picture of shepherding when he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we learn a lot straight away from Jesus that David already knew. Because David was a guy who was willing as a shepherd of sheep to lay his life down for the sheep. You remember the story when he comes to King Saul, and he's before King Saul, and there's that Goliath guy out there ready to do battle. And he's going, well, what are you going to do, little guy? And he's going, well, I've stood up against the bear and the lion when they've come against my sheep. And I've killed them to save my sheep. What we're not told there, but what is true, is that David was willing to lay his life down for his sheep as a young man by going to battle with the bear and the lion. And many years later, Jesus would say, that's what I am like. I'm a good shepherd. I so love you and care for you. I would lay my life down for you. And he does. But I want you to notice at the very beginning of this that the Lord is my shepherd is this point here. That David is a shepherd, right? But David's not saying, I am a shepherd. He's saying that the Lord is my shepherd. And that word for Lord's important. It's the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. David knows who he's talking about. He's not just talking about a force out there or a spirit out there. He's actually saying, this one, the God who created us, the God who is of my forefathers, this God, he is my shepherd. Like, grab your piece of paper. This might seem really simple, but when you think of the Lord as my shepherd, when you talk to God, who do you call him? Like, often when I speak to God, I speak straight to Jesus. Be saying, Jesus, today this is what's going on in my life. And so in some ways, I would write down here, and I might put this as one of the names of God, of the Lord, that I would see. I wonder just, you know, for you, you might not ever use the word the Lord, or you might use it all the time. If you use it all the time, just circle it there. But if for you there's another name that's the one, you know, and it might be my Father in heaven, just write that down. So would you do that? This is our activity time. So we want to make sure that as we're looking at this text that we're going, I want to make this my own today. So who would you call the Lord? When I think of him, I think of Jesus. Who would you think of? You might be my creator, my father, my friend, my provider. And David says the Lord is my shepherd. Obviously, he relates to that because he's been a shepherd. But I want you to notice what happens here is that David doesn't say, I am a shepherd and the Lord is like me. But his focus straight away is actually on the Lord, on God. And in fact, the focus of the whole psalm, even though David is a shepherd of both sheep and people, who is the focus of the whole psalm? God is the focus. Look, have a look at this. So, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. See, he's changed it. He's become very personal, talking directly to God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The psalmist focused on God. It's really important. It might seem simple, but this is why it's so important. Is that David is saying that his life is dependent on his good shepherd, on God. That his whole life is dependent on him. But it tells me something else. Because he says, the Lord is my shepherd, it tells me this. And the story that flows on tells us this, is that to the shepherd, the sheep is highly valuable. So David's understanding is this, is that my whole life is actually about the shepherd, about God. I'm completely dependent on God. It's all about him, but here's what's cool, and we've said this here many times, and he's all about us. Isn't that amazing? See, do you see the focus? The focus is definitely the shepherd. The focus is definitely the Lord, and yet the Lord's focus is on us, the sheep. So focused on us. Willing to lay his life down for the sheep, leading, guiding, refreshing, protecting the sheep. And let's just pause for a moment. Think about this. That as we enter 2019 and we want to be ready for this year, is that this year is His year. God, the one who made us, who loves us, who's welcomed us into His family, who saved us, this is His year, 2019. And He invites us into His year, into His life. And if we can have that perspective, then we can see that this is a year about what He will do in us and through us and around us. He is our shepherd. See, it talks about lack nothing. I was trying to think, you know, when you think about the lack nothing, it's like we lack lots of things lots of times, don't we? We think we're running out of this and running out of that, and we lack friendship, we lack money, we lack a job, we lack good health sometimes. It can be that it doesn't kind of feel like it makes sense sometimes. What David's expressing is saying, I'm dependent on my God as a shepherd, that He will be the one from which I get everything that I need. I'll trust Him in that. And so he says in reverse, he's saying, I lack nothing. No good thing do I lack. It's interesting that, do you notice that, I don't know if you do because you might not have a farming background, but sheep don't tend to, like when they're in their flock and they're under the care of the shepherd, the farmer, they don't tend to stress a lot. They do sometimes stress when they're really isolated, like on their own, and it's almost like when they're totally isolated, they're so vulnerable. But when they're part of flock and when they're part of the shepherd's care, they're just so chilled. Sheep are chilled out kind of creatures. And here's why. Because they're under somebody's care. They're cared for. And the sheep, like I remember as a kid growing up, it's not like the sheep are all kind of trying to find their way to get green grass or quiet waters, because my dad did that for them. They just had to be sheep. They had to walk some places. They had to drink. They had to eat. They had to lie down and sleep. But they just got on with being sheep. And in a way, the sheep is just a real simple picture of saying, this is what one looks like when cared for by a shepherd, to be completely dependent on and have all their needs met. And David's saying, that's what it's like with us and God. Do we realize that? That even today, I was thinking about this morning, when I woke up today and I took in a breath, today I'm alive because of God. He sustained my life today. We don't think that because we just, well, no, I'm alive and I just slept last night and I woke up this morning. But like, we are sustained today because of God. And then this day will bring all sorts of things, both good and bad. But if I understand that I'm in relationship with Him and I'm of value to Him and I'm dependent on Him, then I think rest can come. Let's have a look at this verse 2. He talks about a couple of things here. He talks about making me lie down in green pastures and leading me beside quiet waters. So this afternoon, some of us are going to go to the park for a picnic, and there's going to be some nice green grass there, a nice shady tree, and we'll probably like lie under there and have siesta, right? And then the other half of us won't, because we still have these little guys here to run around after. But we sort of, that's as close as we get to this idea. We don't really quite relate to it. But I wonder what for you is green pastures and still water. Like so when I was growing up as a kid on the farm, we had like quiet water in the sense of these little wee streams, and then we had a spring, and then from that spring, we by gravity fed all the little concrete troughs, so there was always water available for the sheep. And then were certainly these green pastures, and you'd find in the summertime, wherever there was a big tree in shade, that's where the sheep would go and rest. But in life, where are your green pastures and your quiet waters? What are they? And do you even have any? Or is life always about being on the trail, trying to figure out where the next feed's going to come from? But do you ever take time to just rest because you trust that the shepherd's got the next feed sorted? Do you ever do that? My son and his friend enlightened me this week to a new idea. they think that Lorraine and I are caffeine addicts. They really do. So just check that first picture up. So that's my son on the top rock. That's Jordan. And that's his best mate, Walter, who's from Canada. And that's us at Mount Taranaki. So we were talking on the way home in the car. Oh, actually, no, we're in New Plymouth. And Lorraine and I were in search of a cafe because I hadn't had my fix for the day. And it was afternoon by then, which so you start to get the shakes. And I think Lorraine had a couple of fixes that day, so she was all right. And they were talking about our caffeine addiction. And they were saying, you guys are addicts. And we're like, no, no, we're not. No, you can't get by without it. And as we got talking, they were saying, look, this is how it works. It's like you go, go, go. And then when you run out of energy, the way that you get energized is you have your fix of caffeine. You have a coffee, and that's to keep you going. And they said, no, no, this is what we do. We go, 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 go. And then when we get fatigued, we don't go to caffeine. We take a nap. Yeah. We take a nap. And they said to us, you guys should try that. Every time you go to have a coffee, take a nap. And now here's what was funny. Was earlier that day, we'd climbed Mount Taranaki. And we climbed Taranaki. It was hard. It's a long way to the top. And we pushed it hard. And we finally got to the top, next picture. And there we are, we're at the top. That's Ruapehu in the distance. And we got to the top, it was awesome. We made it to the top of the mountain. Now, I have two thoughts when I get there. One is we're a long way from a cafe and I still haven't had a coffee yet. Second one is this. Take a photo, take a video, let's get down. That's because that's how I'm wired. It's like we conquered it. We made it to the top of the mountain. We achieved the goal, capture the moment, and then let's see how fast we can get down. That's how I'm wired. And having a coffee in between would actually help get down faster, but that's okay. This is what the boys said. They said, we're just going to take a nap. So they did, have a look. So there's Walter, and he is actually asleep. Within 2 minutes, he's asleep on a rock on the top of Mount Taranaki. He's asleep. You can hear him. He's asleep. Next photo, and there's Jordan. He's asleep. So I tried it. I cleared some stones, tried lying down, took some photos of my shoes. Got up, got our drink bottles, buried them in the snow to cool them down. Got back again, tidied up my bag a bit, looked at the view, felt like my fix. Couldn't nap. And my boys napped. And then what's interesting is they get up from their nap and they go. So much energy. And I was thinking about this, and it's not so much whether you should caffeine or nap, but they have this philosophy that they go quite hard. They're very ready to go. But when they get a bit tired, they just nap out. I think there's a rhythm of rest going on there that's actually something we can learn about. Because that thing they said about coffee is quite true. It might not be coffee for you, but aren't we like that? That we go, 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 and then when we run a bit light, you know, on either energy or purpose, or we feel a bit frazzled, or stress has come, I think our way is to try and push through. Instead of doing the obvious, which is to actually slow down and go, I'm not actually achieving much right now. I need to pause. I need to regroup and be refreshed. And I think that that's what's going on here for the shepherd and the sheep, as David's saying, God, you're the one that brings me to those places of quiet rest where I can be refreshed. So this is what I want you to do. Just on your activity sheet there, for green pastures and quiet waters, what would that be for you? Just write that down. And if it's I don't have it, write that down. Because that might be something that you need to give attention to. But what could that be? It might be that you've got a certain chair in your house and that's your go-to place where you just sit there for a few minutes at the end of a day and just relax. It could be a book. Like for me at the moment, for a whole year, I've been mulling through this book called The Restless Way of Love. And that's been one of my green pastures. Just about every week I'll take some time and I'll sit down and I'll read a couple of pages and I'll just contemplate that. Another green pasture or quiet water for me is to sit with my journal and just to write in that. And I think I've written in that twice this year, so it's not like a daily thing for me, but it's part of my rhythm of just going, oh, I need to rest, I need to be still, I need to pause sometimes and spend some time with the Lord who's my shepherd. And so that works for me. What for you would be a quiet water, a green pasture where you could actually rest? because you can't just keep going. Just write that down. Just go to the next slide, thanks. Anybody got any? Did anybody have a green pasture or quiet water? Anybody? A couple of you? Yeah? Yeah. Who doesn't have any? Yeah, some of you need to find that. It's really important. And I think that's something we can be saying, God, if you're my shepherd and you lead me to these, where is the space that I could find that? What would that look like? It's really important because he says that the shepherd is the one who refreshes his soul. And I love the word soul because this word soul is you. It's your actual complete being. It's not just the spiritual side of you. When the psalmist is talking about a soul and when we read in the Bible this idea of soul, it's the whole person. It's a bit like our old English language when we would talk about how many souls were lost at sea. What we mean by that is how many lives were lost. And it's not just talking about the number of people heads, it's saying actual living beings, this idea of soul. Your soul is like this complete kind of blend of all of who you are, your physical makeup, your emotions, your will, your desires, your intelligence, your spirit. The soul is the whole of you. And sometimes we might refresh our body or we might refresh our mind. But God wants to refresh the whole of you. And you know how it's become trendy in recent years to do things in a holistic fashion? You say, this gym advertiser, go come to our gym and we have a holistic philosophy. Well, they don't really. They're going to try and make your body fit and help you with some of your thinking maybe and try and work on your diet a little bit, you know? And they call it holistic. But the holistic is much bigger than that. It's about your relationships. It's about the story that you've lived and are going to live. It's everything together. And you as a whole person, God wants to refresh you. But it's interesting that he's going to refresh you in these times. But I also notice this, that he refreshes my soul. He guides me along for his name's sake. And if you notice back up here, he leads me. And then later on, we're going to have this word walk. I want you to notice that it's not this passive thing where David says, because God's my shepherd, I do nothing. It's more like I lack nothing, but I still have to walk and be led and to be guided along a path. There's still activity. This is this idea of being ready. And so if you think about that God refreshes the soul, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I think about these words, right paths and his name's sake. What that tells me is that in this life, David is saying that there's some wrong paths we can take. It's not like it's just like, oh, just relax in God and, you know, give it all to God and everything will be fine and I can do as I please. It's that he's actually saying there's a right path and there's a wrong path. Because when he says there's a right path, there must be a wrong path. And he's saying my relationship with God, my intimacy with him, my dependence on him, it actually guides me on the right path. And it's incredible because as we come to God's word, he speaks to us of what is good and right. But if we're not spending time there, we'd have no idea what he wants to say to us, how he wants to guide us. And so he'll be guiding us in the right paths. And when I think about right paths, right relationships, right decisions, right dreams and desires, those things that are good, and they'll be for his name's sake. And now this is a bit weird, okay, and kids might want to close their ears for this one. But if you actually think about the sheep exist for the purpose of the shepherd. You get that in the picture of the farming? Like the sheep are bred for the shepherd, aren't they? And so the shepherd is the one who loves them, cares for them, looks after them for his purpose, for his name's sake. So if you translate that to us today, it's like we, with God, we are for his purpose. We are for his name's sake. And that's the right path. When it becomes all about us, then we're probably on the wrong path. When we haven't taken time to be in green pastures and quiet waters where he can refresh us, the chances are we end up on the wrong paths. and we end up doing stuff for our own name's sake, not for his. The tricky part about the picture is this, is what's the purpose of the sheep? Like long term? Man, yeah, you get it? So they're going to help clothe the family, and they're going to help feed the family. Yeah, so that's where the picture breaks down a little bit. But this is the thing. The sheep are fully for the purpose of the shepherd. And I think that we can't find rest and refreshing unless we come to understand that we are fully for the purpose of Jesus. If he's our good shepherd, then we are fully for his name's sake. Fully for him. And that means that my life is for him. And don't worry, he's not going to gobble you up because he's all for us. But he does want us. I wonder, like, for you at the moment, just in your activity sheet, when I think about right paths and namesake, what might be an area? Think about this. What's an area in my life right now that I sense that God would want me to be, like, moving towards or acting in? It might be like generosity. It might be kindness to my family. It might be goodness to my neighbour. It might be being more faithful in praying for my friends. I don't know what it is, but what would be something that you would go, that honours God. That's what God would have of my life right now. That's like a right path for me. Maybe write that down. Something that for you, maybe it's over the last few weeks or even months, or it could even be just right now where you just go, God, what is it that you would want of me right now that would honour you, that would be for your name's sake? Just write that in. And then you might want to write this down or you might just want to think about it. But right now, is there a wrong path that you need to go and find a quiet water and a green pasture to sit in and lie in and talk to Jesus about? Because it's hard to talk about right paths without recognizing that there are wrong paths that we find ourselves in. Just think about that. And then we come to the end of this part. We're not doing the whole psalm. We're only doing this first half, which is really focused on the shepherd idea. But we come to verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's got this imagery of there's this rod. It's more like a little club, okay? And there's a staff, which is like the big stick. And in some ways, the stick is for the shepherd, you know. As you could say it's for him to use as a walking stick. But also the staff is the thing that he can use to guide and direct the sheep. But the club, they say, was often used more as to defend the sheep. That's possibly the kind of thing that David might have had in his hand with both his sling and his club as he went at a bear or a lion. And so there's a sense in which the rod and the staff are about both guiding and protecting. And somehow David's saying that as God is that for me, I find comfort in that even in the darkest valley. I guess what I like about the psalm and David in the psalms is he's always really honest. Because if you just read the first three verses, it sounds really pretty, isn't it? You can sort of almost have the sound of music going over that, and there's this green hill and this bubbly brook, and it's all just so beautiful and chilled, and there's no wolves, you know, and there's no, you know, cliffs to fall off, and there's no dry seasons where the grass isn't growing. But David's very honest. See what he's doing? He's saying, man, I need to be rested. I need to find my rest in God. He's my shepherd. He does that for me. He refreshes my soul. And almost it's as if that it's going to come. And I need to be ready for that, that there's going to be some dark valleys come. I mean, in the old King James, it talks about the valley of death. The language is talking about a deep darkness. You know, and original translators into English were saying, oh, that's death. That's death, that is. But it may not be death. It could be something else in your life. But he's saying those darkest valleys, those most difficult times, I don't get to run away from them and stay up on the hilltop under the shady tree. I actually have to walk through them. But as I walk through them, I'll not be afraid. Because he's with me. It's like our little friend here said, didn't he? When we're talking about being afraid of the dark, so I don't have to be afraid of the dark because God is with me. That's true. I don't know what it is that you fear, I don't know what evil there is that would push in on you. I don't know what a dark valley would look like for you right today. But David's reminding us that God is right with us in the dark valley. He's right there with us, and he's there to bring us comfort, to protect and to guide us. So just on your paper, under dark valley, maybe under even under evil, or the thing that you fear, write down there, what is it that right now would be your greatest fear? What would you find most difficult in your life right now? What is that relationship, that circumstance, that thought, train of thought that you have, that feeling that you have, that in some ways would suffocate and seem to be the controlling thing in your life right now? What would that be? Just write that down. And then it sort of says it here, but I want you, if you are writing these things down, just to write underneath this. Write this down. You are with me. Because that's what David's saying. Saying, God, you are with me. That's what makes a difference. David would say that the presence of God, knowing that in his life, removes fear. David would say that the presence of God in his life is his guide and his protection. David would say that the presence of God in his life is where he finds comfort. Because you are here. You are with me. And sometimes, especially I think the way that our minds work, is that we find ourselves in a dark valley or there's an evil that we're fearing, and then our minds just race off. And we find ourselves not having a shepherd, not knowing where green grasses or quiet waters are, only feeling the pressure of darkness and of the valley, and feeling very alone, and that help is far from us, and that things are hopeless. And in some ways, the circumstance can actually be shouting that at us. And what David's calling us to is saying, there's a truth that still applies even in the dark valley that you need to remind yourself of. That God is your shepherd, that he will never leave you, that he's with you right now. He still loves you, and he's still the one who is going to ultimately get you through. You need to trust in him. And I think that's where this rhythm of rest and ready starts to come. I wonder if it's even possible in the darkest valley to find rest. You're pushing hard, things are going wrong, the world's collapsing on in, and we think that we can't pause, don't we? We actually think we can't pause, but in fact we can. Even in the darkest moment, we can actually stop. And we can actually speak to our shepherd at those points. There's always a moment. And it might be just a small moment, but where we can actually stop and go, God, I need you right now. I need to find rest in this moment right now. The lies are telling me that you are far from me, but I know the truth that you are here right with me now, and I want to claim the truth of that, that you are here with me now. That you love me now. I feel unloved. I feel ugly. I feel dirty. I feel broken. But God, you love me, and I want to claim that truth right now. You love me. And we need to make these pauses, in a way, the moments of rest. But even when life's normal, it doesn't feel like dark valleys. It's weird how that we just can push on and ignore rest and then wonder why when we hit a dark valley that we're not ready. So there's a preventative piece here, I guess. Or a healthy peace. And that's what I want you to consider as you take that piece of paper home, is going, how might I find rest in God in 2019, knowing that this is his year, that wherever I find myself, he will be with me. So what will be my green pastures and quiet waters this year? How might I be rested in order to be ready for whatever comes this year? And that's not about taking a week's holiday as the solution. It's about what's the rhythm of rest? Is it a weekly rhythm, a daily rhythm, where you would make time to pause and to be with God, to be still and to know Him? Hey, let's just pray. Just join with me as we acknowledge that God is with us right now. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, You have promised to be with us and to never leave us. And so right now, we say it and we believe it. God, You are with me. Say that with me. God, You are with me. Thank You that You've invited us into spaces of rest. And we want to find those this year. And maybe even in this moment, this is a restful moment where You would refresh our soul. God, I don't know what the dark valleys are that people might be experiencing right now, but You are with them in those moments. Would You show Yourself to them? Remind them of Your presence? Give them hope at the end of the darkness, a light at the end of the tunnel, that they might trust You, that we might trust You. And I thank You that ultimately a comfort comes from You, a life comes from You, and You will be with us and You will get us through. You know, I ask that this might be a year that we're so ready to serve You and to serve our community and to live a life of love for You, but would You help us find this rhythm of rest? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.